And as you would have noticed, she's not only preaching today, but she led worship as well. So here's a person who's really tapping into her personal ministry. And as an elder, she's fully involved as well with the leadership. So she's part of the corporate ministry. And so what an example that Heather is to us of what it means to lay down her life at the foot of the cross and to serve and serve and serve. So Heather, we just honor you so much for the way that you give and give and give and give and give and give and give to this church and for what you do. So thank you, Heath. Why don't you just raise your hand as we pray for Heath? She's had a rough week. She's got a sore back. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. So her back is really sore. And so let's just pray over her now and bless her. Father, we thank you for Heather, our sister in Christ. We thank you for the way that she serves and the example that she is. We thank you that you've given her so many giftings, so many, and you've blessed her with such ability. We thank you that you're using her day by day, week by week, not only in this church, but in her family and in the community. We pray over her now. We pray that you would heal her back. We pray that you clear her mind of anything that might be weighing her down. And that you would just fill her with a sense of your presence and your power now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, who would have thought that sweeping a cricket pitch after the storm, which has quite a deep pile, the astroturf, of leaves and sticks that get accumulated in there, and then having a bout of a few days of sneezing to one side would send your back into spasm. Anyway, it did. Pete's sister, Caroline Storer, is an amazing physio if anyone needs a good physio like I did. Okay, but God can use any of us even when we are not 100%. So we have a preaching team in the church that meet probably every 2 months, and we pray and seek God about what he wants to share with the church. And when we meet, we talk through all the scriptures that we're looking at and then pray and ask God to show us what resonates in our hearts. And so the verses that we're going to be looking at today really did something in my heart that night. They stirred me, and I really felt that God wanted me to dig deeper. And so I stuck my hand up for this weekend. And so what I'm sharing with you today is really just what God has shown me. And it's quite simple, but I hope that it stirs your heart into action. So today's message, thanks Riley, is called You Give Them Something. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat, he told the disciples. And we'll look at the context of that. And so you really, like the disciples were, can be part of a kingdom miracle. And you need to believe that. Okay, so the disciples had been traveling with Jesus, and they had heard him proclaim that the kingdom of God has come. And as proof of his authority, Jesus performed many supernatural miracles to confirm the statement, the kingdom of God has come. And he would heal the sick, heal the blind, heal the lame, he raised people from the dead, and he did many, many more miracles, of which I'm sure you are well aware. Many of the miracles are recorded in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But John says at the end of the Gospel of John, in chapter 21, verse 25, he says, Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. That's what John said. So he was a witness, a first-hand witness to the many miracles that Jesus was performing. It's incredible. I'd love to sit at the feet of Jesus one day and ask him to tell me about all those other miracles that we haven't even read about in the Bible, and see the lives of those in heaven who were changed by the miracles that Jesus performed. So we're going to look at one of the miracles that he performed. And there were two occasions in the Bible that are recorded in the New Testament where Jesus fed a multitude. And the Bible uses the word multitude. One instance was when he fed 4,000 men, and another was when he fed 5,000 men. And so today we're going to focus on the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it's interesting, it's recorded by all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in all four of the Gospels. It's one of the few miracles that is recorded in detail in all four Gospels. So it must have made a profound impact on them. So you'll see there, if you're taking notes, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are references to this miracle. But we need to look at the setting for the story, because you can't just take a story and just look at it for what it is. You need to understand the context of what goes before to understand even more about why that miracle was so profound. So the setting is, we need to look at John the Baptist. So he was about 3 years older than Jesus. He was Elizabeth's son. Elizabeth was Mary's relative. And so John was a relative of Jesus. Not John who wrote the Gospel of John, but John the Baptist. And he was the one who had preached and prepared the way for Jesus, and who had had the immense privilege of baptizing Jesus at the start of his ministry. He was the man who had continued to boldly proclaim God's right way to live. And he had got under some people's skin by speaking the truth. And the context for this passage today is that John was beheaded on Herod's birthday. And his followers had gone to collect his body and to bury it, and then had sent news to Jesus of what had happened. Can you imagine how Jesus must have taken that news? The Bible says in Matthew 14:13, says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. That's not what you do when you're okay. You withdraw when your heart is sore. Sorry. I can identify with the feeling of needing to withdraw and to be in a solitary place. Can you? Can you identify with that? At some point in your lives, did you hear news and you actually just leave me alone. I'm just going to go and be by myself. I don't want to deal with people. Don't come in my space. Don't knock on my door. Don't phone me or WhatsApp. I just need to be alone. Can you remember why you needed to withdraw and be alone and how you felt? So it's into that context that Jesus ministers to 5,000 people. That is the context. So Mark 6:32-34 says, so this is now Jesus had heard the news, he wanted to withdraw to be alone. They went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, doesn't say he just got back in the boat and sailed somewhere else. It says he had compassion on them. What a heart. What a heart. Luke 9:11 says, so this is a different account of the same story. He says he welcomed them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who needed healing. Isn't it incredible? Such sacrifice, considering his own personal turmoil and such a heart for people despite his own grief. That's big. That's big heart. That's big compassion. That's digging deep sacrificially to give what people are needing. So now you've got the backdrop to the miracle that he performed, but let's read about what actually happened when he fed 5,000 people. So Matthew 14, verse 15 and 16 says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. I mean, Jesus chose a good place to withdraw to and to be alone, but this 5,000 strong crowd followed him there. This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away. I'm sure they were also grieving. They knew John the Baptist too. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages, they can buy themselves some food. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. If I'd been one of the disciples, I would have thought, hang on a minute here. You know, we're actually dealing with our friend who's not only been killed, but he's been beheaded. I mean, that's hectic. Now you've been ministering and healing to 5,000 people. It's late. We're tired. We haven't dealt with a lot of stuff. There's 5,000, Lord, that need food. 5,000, not 5 or 50 or 500. And you're telling us to give them something to eat. And it says in verse 21 that the number of those who ate was 5,000 men besides women and children. So the crowd was bigger, okay? The women were not counted. The children were not added in that number. But in John 6:6, it actually says that Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. So despite him saying to them, you give them something to eat, Jesus knew what was going to happen. So in the Gospel of Mark, in response to his instruction to them, you give them something to eat, it says in verse 37, they, the disciples, said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Now, if I said to any of you, take half of what you earn in a year and spend it once off to just feed 5,000 people who are hungry, who are in your personal space, who've been needing you, wanting you, you've been ministering to them, that's quite a big ask, to take half a year's wages just to feed one crowd once off. They'll be hungry again in the morning. And they said to him, are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? But Jesus says to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And that struck me profoundly. He doesn't see the 5,000 and their hunger and their need and his own pain. He looks to the disciples and he says, what do you have? Go and see. So we'll talk about that just now. John 6 verse 8 and 9 says that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? And there's no indication of his tone, whether he's being sincere or whether he's being sarcastic or whether he's sort of like in awe of God and knows what God can do with a little. But to say he has a boy that hasn't even been counted in the 5,000. And he just has his lunch. He has his lunch box. He's got 5 loaves of bread that he was packed off with in the morning and 2 little fish. That's profound to even see that. So some of you have things in your lives that seem really small. Maybe you feel like a small boy in a crowd. Or maybe what you feel you've got to bring is just 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. But actually, Jesus uses that in an amazing, amazing way. So let's read on in John 6, verse 10, carries on. It says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks. Okay? Jesus is thankful for what you bring. He gives thanks for the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. In the context of staring at a sea of 5,000 plus faces, he gives thanks. What you bring, the smallest thing that you bring, is not insignificant. The gift, the skill, the talent, the small resource, the little bit of time, the little bit of energy that you can have, anything that you bring, Jesus gives thanks. He gave thanks for that boy's lunch in front of that crowd. And then carrying on, it says, he distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish, and when they had all had enough to eat, that's amazing. Then he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. I mean, the disciples probably didn't even think it was going to reach the end of the first row, let alone the 10th row, or the back, or the sides. And now he's telling them to go and gather the leftovers. I mean, this has made such an impression on them that they recorded it in the Gospels. And he said, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them, and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Even the leftovers matter to Jesus. Even when you feel you're giving him your leftovers, it matters. He said, let nothing be wasted. This is truly a miracle. And the disciples and that small boy had a part to play. So if we were going to think practically about this story, it's a miraculous display of God's power. It's miraculous. It's supernatural provision. Are you trusting God for his supernatural provision in your life? Are you living in tune with this miraculous God who displays such incredible power? This is also an example of God inviting people, just like you and I, ordinary people, to be part of his plan. He doesn't want his plans to be fulfilled without people. His heart is for the people. That little boy could have kept his meal, but he would have missed God's miracle. He could have kept his meal, But he would have missed the miracle. Instead, he was open-handed and he was generous. He didn't give one of the five loaves and one fish. He gave five loaves and two fish. That was what he had. He was open-handed and generous. And the sacrificial gift of his meal meant that he became part of something so much bigger than himself or that he could have ever dreamed possible. We all love a good story. Imagine him going home and telling his family the story of his lunch that day. And that story being passed down through generations, what God can do with a little meal when you bring it. Don't exchange a miracle for a measly meal. You have the opportunity of making long-term impact in the kingdom of God. So don't miss out on what God is doing in the world because maybe your heart or your hands are closed to him and to other people. What I mean by this is simply living for yourself. It's easy to slip into a mindset of just living for yourself. Your own needs, your own issues that you're facing, you just live for yourself. But rather live with open hearts. Live with open eyes to see the needs. Live with open hands to give and meet those needs. Your time and your energy, I know that's very valuable. Your resources, your talents, your unique giftings, and I know that you know what you're gifted at. Your abilities and your skills, your heart, that is what Jesus is asking for. He's asking you to give those as your meal for a miracle. So you need to be asking yourself, what is in my hands? What time do I have? What energy can I give? What resources, what abilities, what skills, what talents can I give? Like that small boy gave his lunch. And it may not look like much that you're offering, but as we saw, God didn't need much. He doesn't need much to do miracles. He only needs what you bring, but he needs you to bring it. He needs us to bring what we have. And it will usually involve sacrificing something on our part. I mean, that boy gave his meal, probably not sure whether he was going to get enough to fill him up. I mean, if he was looking at the crowd and giving his lunch, he probably thought, I'm not going to get anything. But it says they all had enough to eat and were satisfied. So you just need to sacrifice. The blessing that comes in return from just giving something. It's huge. It's huge and it's kingdom. It's not just on earth. So what kingdom miracle are you hoping for? Maybe you haven't thought, what kingdom miracle am I actually hoping for? Are you willing to be part of a kingdom miracle? And what can you bring? There's this very interesting word, them. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Who is the them in your story? We have multitudes surrounding us. Maybe not 5,000 men sitting on the grass looking at you, hungry at the end of the day. But we have multitudes around us. Who's in your orbit? I'm sure you see some faces in your mind. Who's in your world? Who's in your sphere of influence that needs a miraculous miracle of Jesus in their life? And what can you bring into that story? What can you bring? How can you give them Jesus? And this is where it starts in your personal time with the Lord, your devotional time with him, your private time. This is not a public thing in front of a crowd. This is you on your own with the Lord. Are you praying for them? Are you reading and listening to what he's telling you in his word? Are you asking him? Are you seeking? Like that verse, it says, ask and seek and knock. This is a pressing in thing. Are you longing for that miracle for them? Are you interceding and maybe even fasting for their hearts to change? Are you leaning into the Holy Spirit? Because this is not just a striving in my own strength thing. This is a God thing. So are you leaning into the Holy Spirit and giving him an obedient heart? Saying, Lord, I've pressed and I've prayed, I've read, I've sought your face, and now I'm just going to lean in and you prompt me to bring what I need to bring. What is God's Spirit saying to you? There's so much to think about. We're going to watch a very short media clip. It's 6 minutes. We all love stories. I love stories. And we all have them. We all have stories. And we can all share our stories. And so the story you're going to listen to is a short story about a man called Tim Tebow. I don't know if you've heard of him. I hadn't until I found the story. He is a well-known, very famous now, American football player. And he simply gave what was in his hands. He took his talent, had an idea, a God idea, and he gave what was in his hands in a very uncomplicated way. And because he was obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, God multiplied that little thing that he offered with his hand. God multiplied it profoundly in a miraculous way. So I hope you enjoy the 6 minutes.
You know, there's been so many times in my life where I felt unworthy or unqualified, but God would just do something so cool in the midst of it. And one of those times was when I was a junior at the University of Florida, and we were getting ready to play Tennessee. And I see some of my teammates putting different eye blacks under their eyes, and they're putting like their mom's name or their area code under their eyes. And so I started to think, you know, I wonder if I could put something under my eyes that maybe could encourage someone or inspire someone. So I was like, well, God bless, I don't know. And I was like, well, Philippians 4:13, I could do that. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was like, that would be good for a football player. So I put it under my eyes. We were blessed to win because it was Tennessee. And it really wasn't that big of a deal. After the game, a couple of local newspapers wrote about it, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But I kept wearing it under my eyes every single game. And as probably a lot of you know, Gator fans are very passionate. So 4, 5, 6 weeks later, they're selling it at the Gator bookstore, at the Florida library. You have thousands of fans showing up to games wearing Philippians 4:13 into their eyes. And I honestly believe half of them don't even know what it means. I had one guy, his name was Phil, come up to me and said, hey, did you wear that under your eyes for me? No, it's a Bible verse. What are you talking about? And so we get to the SEC championship game at the end of the year, and we're getting ready to run out of the tunnel, and football's kind of one of those things where you have such tunnel vision. It's just one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And as I was getting ready to run out of the tunnel, I really felt like God was putting in my heart to change the verse. I was like, really, right now? But I realized that if we won, we'd be playing a national championship on one of the biggest stages that I might ever get. And so that would be the right opportunity to change the verse. And so we were blessed to win that game. And the next six weeks leading up to the national championship, I was agonizing and really contemplating what verse I was going to go with. And God kept bringing it to my heart and my head, John 3:16, because it's the essence of our Christianity. It's the essence of our hope. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's what gives us hope as Christians. So I decided to go with that. And so 2 days before the game, I went up to my parents' hotel room in Miami, Florida. I was like, Mom, Dad, I've decided to change the verse, and we're going to go with John 3:16. My mom's super sweet and supportive. Oh, that's great, honey. My dad's like, well, have you told Coach Meyer? Because he says he just likes his routines, but that dude is so superstitious, it's ridiculous. So he's like, you really need to tell him. So we were right down the street at FAU practicing. We finished our last practice for a national championship. I said, hey, Coach Meyer, can I talk to you for a second? He's like, yeah, how you feeling? Your arm good? Leg good? You ready for the game? I was like, yeah, I'm good. You know the verse I wear in my eyes? He's like, yeah, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. I love it. I was like, well, I'm going to change that verse tomorrow night. What? What are you talking about? You can't change that verse. That verse, God is here. Get us here. So after a couple minutes of explaining it to him, he totally was supportive and understood. And honestly, after that, I didn't even really think about it. I just went out there and tried to win the championship game. We were blessed to win. And 2 days later, I was at Ballyhoo Restaurant in Gainesville, Florida with me, my mom, my dad, my aunt, and Coach Meyer. And Coach Meyer gets a call. And he's like, uh-huh. All right, bye. And I was like, who was that? He said, that was Steve McLean. Here's our PR guy in Florida. So what do you have to say? He said, did you know that during that game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16? And honestly, my first thought was, how the heck do 94 million people not know John 3:16? Hashtag Sunday school. It's like the first thing you hear, you know? But I was just sitting in Ballyhoo Restaurant, just so humbled at how big the God is that we serve, and how he wants to do amazing things in us and through us. And when we just step out and show a little faith or a little courage or We just decide, hey, it's okay to be a little bit different than everybody else, what God can do in our lives. And that game just happened to be in 2009, January 8th. Well, exactly 3 years later, January 8th, 2012, we just happened to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I never even thought about John 3:16 one time, so I can't take any credit for it. I just tried to go out there and win a playoff game, and we were blessed to win this crazy playoff game in overtime. And I run in and try to, you know, shower really quick and change because I wanted to go celebrate my family. So I'm running to go and do my press conference really quick. And right before I walk into the press conference room, Patrick, our PR guy, jumps in front of me. He says, "Timmy, do you realize what happened?" I was like, "Yeah, we just beat the Steelers. We're going to play the Patriots. Like, let me do this." He's like, "No, do you realize what happened?" I was like, "I guess not." He said, "Timmy, it's exactly three years from the night you wore John 3:16 under your eyes." I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." And he was like, "No, you don't realize. During the game, you threw for 316 yards. Your yards per completion were 31.6. Your yards per rush were 3.16. The ratings for the night were 31.6, and the time of possession was 31.06. And during the game, 90 million people Googled John 3:16, and it's the number one trending thing on every platform." Standing there in that hallway getting ready to do this press conference thinking that that night was about a football game. And it really wasn't, because the God that we serve is such a big God. And standing in that hallway, I knew that it was something so much more. Because the God that we serve is a God of miracles, as we're going to hear today. And it's a God that does pretty amazing things in us and through us. And I think we just have to be willing to step out and say, "Here you go, God. I'm going to give you my fish and my loaves of bread and watch what he does with it." But the God we serve can do pretty awesome, amazing things.
Isn't that amazing? 94 million people Googling John 3:16 because he just brought his loaves and fish. It's so humbling what God can do with a little, simple gesture. But like Tim was in the story, he was willing to participate in God's plan. And we can too. Miracles, modern day miracles, really do happen in many lives across the world. They really do happen. And Jesus really is in the business of saving and restoring lives. And we need to see that. We need to believe that. And he has this amazing opportunity of inviting us. We have an amazing opportunity as he invites us to be part of those miracles. So as we close then, I think we need to make it practical. So I've just got a few points on the last slide. And they're very simple. The first one is about sacrifice. When Jesus ministered to the crowd, it was out of a place of real sacrifice. His heart was grieving, yet he had compassion. Sacrifice matters in the kingdom. Then there's our part. When we'd rather be sending the crowd away, making them sort themselves out, Jesus is looking to us and saying, "You give them something to eat." He's looking to us, his church, the people who love him. He's looking to us to do our part. Then there's the them. Who is the them in your life? You need to take time this next week, maybe today, to see who they are in your life, what you can bring, how you can meet their needs, and spend some really rich private time with the Lord, hearing his spirit and getting your heart into a place of obedience. Then there's the what. Jesus didn't tell his disciples to just close their eyes and pray and the bread miraculously arrived. He told them to go and see. He said, "What do you have? Go and see." So you need to take some time to go and see what you have to bring. Maybe a discussion with someone at home or with your children or as a family. Say, "What do we have to bring to the table? What do we have that I can give? How much time? How much resources? What idea have you got? What skill do I have that someone is needing?" And you need to bring that. Little is not little in the kingdom of God. Don't regard your little as a little. Don't regard your children as a little. They can bring things for kingdom miracles too. maybe easier than adults do, actually. God doesn't need much to work a miracle, but we need to be faithful with the little that we have so that he can trust us with more. And lastly, we need to give thanks. Just bring what you have and give thanks for it. That's what Jesus did. And then he will work the miracle. Jesus is the one who multiplies. So as we pray, I just want to pray into those areas, and I'll pause at different times just so you can think about them a little bit and ask God to speak to your heart. So Lord Jesus, we just want to come before you now, and we just love the story of your miraculous provision for all those people. But it wasn't just because they were hungry and they needed feeding. It was because you wanted to demonstrate who you are. Who you are. Your heart for people. And so we want to press into you today and say, Lord, please reveal to each one of us here in our private times with you. Reveal to us who you are. Give us a bigger picture of Jesus. Give us a bigger picture of your heart for others. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to dig deep into that place of sacrifice where we give, even though we know it's not easy. We give and we do and we are and we serve because of kingdom, because of eternity, because of mission, because of your love for us. That is why we sacrifice. And Father, I pray that we would see our part in this. That we would know that, yes, you can do miracles. You don't need people, you're God. But you do need people. You want us to be part of seeing who you are. You want us to be part of the miracle of seeing those we love saved and restored and healed. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to identify the them in our lives. In our personal stories and journeys, help us to identify who them is. Who is them? What face has come to mind? What neighbors, what people who we rub shoulders with in parking lots and shopping malls and schools and workplaces, who is the them that you want us to reach? Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we go home to go and see what we can bring in this wonderful mission plan that you have. Help us to find practically the ways in which we can bring what we have. And Lord, thank you that little is not little in the kingdom. Thank you that you take the little and you multiply it. Thank you that it's not insignificant. Thank you that your love for us is so great that you not only accept it, but you give thanks for it. You give thanks for the little that we bring. And Father, I pray that as we're obedient with the little, that you would just come and give us more, give us bigger thems. More people who need Jesus. Give us more ministry areas that we can work into. Give us more, we pray, that your mission and your heart for the lost would be such an amazing experience that we're a part of seeing changed and saved and redeemed, Lord. So today we really want to thank you for the miraculous blessing of the gift of your son Jesus and the miracles that he worked. And we pray that we can be part of these miraculous, supernatural miracles here on earth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.